like the wind. You know, I wish there was wind in here because it is hot in Tip Tap Tip studio. Kind of sweating on the earphones. Kind of
sitting in just your underwear, right, Eric?
Well, pretty much. So,
yeah, you are.
So, theater of the mind, imagine what I am looking like.
No, don't do that.
This episode, we are talking about bad things. So bad they're good, or are they just bad? Movies, songs,
looks,
books, you name
no,
it.
No, I said looks, with an L.
Looks?
Looks.
Art.
Trends.
Even.
Pants.
That's right.
Hair.
We're going to get to the bottom of this, and we're going to get real, real sweaty doing it.
Ew.
That seems like a perfect place to start, doesn't it? The saxophone.
Yeah, the saxophone is good, though. I like the saxophone.
Well, you played the saxophone when you were...
I'm not that good, though.
You played, like, tenor saxophone?
It's junior high, Eric.
I don't know.
I played it in junior high.
So why did you
pick it? I was in, for a very short period of time, I was in an all-saxophone band where we tried to play jazz, which was so hard.
Especially when there's... like 20 saxophones and they're
no,
all...
No, it was only like five people.
An all saxophone band.
Or four people.
That sounds like the best band.
We were just trying to do some jazz stuff.
So of all the instruments that you had a choice of during junior high, why the saxophone? What attracted you to that particular instrument?
Well,
I
didn't want to play a clarinet.
Yeah.
I didn't want to play... I couldn't actually blow into a flute.
Okay.
I couldn't get a sound from it.
Because you have to do it a certain way like that.
Yeah, I couldn't do it. I don't have very good rhythm, so I can't play drums.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried playing the French horn, and I couldn't do those notes.
Okay.
Because you have to be able to breathe differently and get a lot of the notes with your mouth, not with the keys. So that also rules out the trumpet. I couldn't do that one.
Because you have to go...
There's only three keys, so you actually have to like position your lips to get other keys.
Oh, seriously?
You didn't know that?
I don't know. I've never played a brass instrument in my entire life. I don't know how they work.
It's really hard.
I know. What's the one? The
trombone.
Trombone. I'm making the trombone motion.
Like at least with a saxophone, there's a key that you push for every note, so you'd never have to do anything with your mouth to change it because it's a wind instrument,
yeah,
not a brass instrument. So,
okay.
It was easy. It was the easiest.
But the same thing with the flute, but all the keys, right?
Yeah, but I couldn't blow into that one.
Okay, so sax was by default, just the way it worked out.
Well, and I thought it was cool, too. Sounded cool.
Because it was cool in the 80s, and I think when you were doing this, it would have been, what, the 90s?
Yeah. But I started out with the alto saxophone because mm-hmm. I have no idea what the difference is when I chose, like, alto or tenor. And
yeah.
Oh, no, tenor is the lower one. So, no, I started out with a bigger one, which is tenor.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I realized, oh, all you do is you don't even ever get to play the melody. This part, this sucks.
Oh, because it's all, like,
the bass
beats. Yeah.
And, yeah, and then I switched to alto.
Were you good?
No, I don't think I was like super good, but I wasn't super bad either.
Okay, so you've played that instrument and you play piano.
Yeah.
Okay. So, reason we're talking about the saxophone is that we're getting back to what we were talking about at the beginning of the show, bad things. Now, the saxophone isn't really bad. However, it does evoke certain images of the 1980s. And a lot of songs, like Patrick Swayze.
Yeah, and you just picture like a guy standing there blowing the saxophone and like tilting the saxophone up while blowing, mm-hmm. which I would not recommend trying this because you know what happens?
Spit valve right back at you, right?
Why aren't you letting me say this? You're so mean.
I'm guessing.
You're just ending my sentences and then you get to say the good part.
Okay.
It's not nice.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to add something else.
You're
to what
stealing
I, what
my
I,
thoughts.
I, it was
Have
just,
your own thoughts.
It was just a guess. That's all it was.
Yeah, now that's not cool. Like, you just finished my sentence.
Okay.
I was just going to say that. And then you just, I don't want to be that couple where you steal the end of my sentences. What if I wasn't going to say that? I wasn't even thinking that at all.
Then
I was thinking something totally different, and you just took away my thoughts.
Then egg on my face.
What are you trying to do? Control me?
It sure is getting hot in here. Wow, it's just not the weather. It is getting steamy.
Okay, so in the 80s, when they were doing the saxophone, like, these people were playing it and putting it in songs and stuff because it was cool.
It was the cool instrument.
It was cool. But when people put it in things now, it's like this bad, good thing.
Well, take, for instance, if we're going to talk about the saxophone, let's talk about Lady Gaga's last album.
So do you think Lady Gaga was doing a bad, good kind of thing of the saxophone?
I don't know. Like, you know, because it sounded fine to me. Like, okay, this fits and it sounds cool, but it didn't really sound really kind of, I don't know, maybe
purposeful or
well,
right?
I know she probably wanted a sax in there, so I guess she got a really famous person to do it.
Yeah.
But it didn't really sound like out of place within the context of the song, so it worked.
Yeah. So then you're totally not on topic.
I messed that up.
With the show.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
But just I will be when we talk about movies. Because that's, because you're talking about Sharknado was a big thing. It's a couple of years ago that came out and everybody was talking about it. Like, oh, you have to see Sharknado. You have to see Sharknado. It's like this big thing because it's a shark filled tornado. Right. So that's cool. Right. Because that's totally ridiculous.
Yeah.
And I watched it.
But it's like, it's so bad, it's good.
Well, not necessarily.
Isn't that what, that's kind of, you don't think that's a good example
no,
of that?
No, because here's the problem with that movie. And I watched the movie and it had one of the, Ian Ziering from 90210 and Tara Reid from the American Pie movies, but...
Okay, it's not as bad as some movies could be or have been.
The problem that I had with that particular movie was that where it was coming from. Because with that movie, it was coming from a very sort of self-referential place, meaning that they were fully aware of that they were making a crappy movie, a movie that was not serious. So
you're saying because they were on purposely making a bad movie...
Yeah,
that it didn't work. Which for I know. I don't agree with you on that though, because this is what you're saying about this. You know, you've seen this movie, The Room, a couple times.
Yes,
and you honestly think that because this guy on purposely was trying to make a good movie, mm-hmm. and he thinks it is a good movie, but everyone else watches it and thinks it's a bad movie. So. For some reason that makes it better or
something? Yeah, it's like lightning in a bottle. It's all about earnestness, right? If because when Tommy Wiseau, the filmmaker behind The Room, was making it, he genuinely believed that he was, like, and you'll see in the trailer that I play coming up, that he was going to be like the next Tennessee Williams. Like very...
Okay, but... If someone is going in to see this movie without knowing all that you know about it, see, I feel like you can't.
Then they won't enjoy it. Like,
they won't enjoy it because why?
Because it's a bad movie.
Yeah. So I don't think what you're saying changes anything. Like, I think if a movie is a bad movie and people are watching it because it's a bad, good movie, mm-hmm. the, you know, whether the director, what their director's intentions were, it doesn't matter. The movie needs to speak for itself. The director's not going to be there every single time there's a screening.
He actually is most of the times.
Here in Calgary?
No, but like when it's playing in the States, he shows up quite a bit. Like in just Q&As because he's just...
Okay, fine. So sometimes he does in the States, but like we're talking about here.
No, like...
Or if somebody looks it up online and watches it, they're just going to look at it and be like, this is awful. Like, why do people like this? There's not going to be very much understanding about it. The movie needs to be able to speak for itself, and that movie does not speak for itself. It's just awful.
It is
awful.
But there's
and same with Sharknado. It's just awful. It's just Hollywoodized. It's changed a little bit. It's Hollywoodized.
No, the thing going back to Sharknado is where they're coming from is they genuinely want to make a kind of a cheesy, silly, ridiculous movie. The Room, there's a genuineness to it, even though it fails. And almost
genuine what?
Because when he was writing it, like,
yeah, Eric, but you're not understanding what I'm saying.
Okay.
You're talking about this movie as if you know Tommy Wiseau because you have listened to podcasts about him, you have read things about him, you have like overdone yourself with this. So what I'm saying is someone who has not informed themselves as much as you have about your crush on Tommy Wiseau is not going to see the same stuff that you see, okay?
No, I'm just saying, I totally...
just look at it as the movie by itself, not everything that you've read about it. And as both movies like Sharknado and The Room, both of them, movies just by themselves, not what you've read about them, nothing like that.
Okay, say for instance, pretend like you know nothing about the movie and it's just a movie that you happen to come across on Netflix.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
And
now...
And so both of them are bad. Like if I started watching them, I would be like, this is stupid.
But
this is bad. I'm going to turn it off.
But the Room is laughably bad. There's some moments which are
There are some moments, but I could not. I can watch it for maybe 5 minutes, but I would never be able to sit down and watch the whole thing because it is excruciatingly, painfully bad.
All right, let's watch this scene. This is a roof scene from the Room.
Oh, now you're going to make me watch it.
It's only a few minutes. Okay, this just to set this up. You know what? I'll just let it speak for itself.
You always do that.
Yeah.
I did not hit her. It's not true. It's bullshit. I did not hit her. I did not. Oh, hi, Mark.
Oh, hey, Johnny. What's up?
I have a problem with Lisa. She said that I hit her.
What? Well, did you?
No, it's not true. Don't even ask. What's new with you?
Well, I'm just sitting up here thinking, you know. I got a question for you.
Yeah.
You think girls like to cheat like guys do?
What makes you say that?
I don't know. I'm just thinking.
I don't have to worry about that because Lisa's loyal to me.
Yeah, man, you never know. People are very strange these days. I used to know a girl. She had a dozen guys. One of them found out about it, beat her up so bad she ended up in a hospital on Guerrero Street.
What a story, Mark.
Yeah, you can say that again.
I'm so happy I have you as my best friend, and I love Lisa so much.
Yeah, man. Yeah, you are very lucky.
Well, maybe you should have a girl, Mark.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe I have one already. I don't know yet.
Well, what happened? Remember Betty? That's her name?
Betty?
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't see each other anymore. You know, she wasn't any good in bed. She was beautiful, but we had too many arguments.
That's too bad. My Lisa's great when I can get it.
Oh, man, I just can't figure women out. Sometimes they're just too smart. Sometimes they're flat out stupid. Other times they're just evil.
It seems to me like you're an expert, Mark.
No, definitely not an expert, Johnny.
What's bothering you, Mark?
Nothing, man.
Do you have some secrets?
Forget it.
Why don't you
Why?
Tell me?
Forget
Come
it,
on.
Dude.
Is it some secret?
No, forget it. I'll talk to you later.
Well, whatever.
Okay. So you laughed at one part of that. You can't...
Because it's so awful.
Exactly.
Sometimes women are too stupid. Sometimes they're too smart. And sometimes they're just plain evil. Like, it's just, it's so awful.
Yeah. I know.
And, I mean, I find it interesting about this guy is, you know, nobody knows, like, where he gets all this money from to make all these movies and stuff like that. He's just kind of like...
It's really kind of a big mystery.
It is bizarre. And yeah. And the other thing I find interesting is that is his like infatuation with like the all American boy, right?
Yeah.
Like that guy is sitting there in a red cutoff shirt and he's sitting on top of an apartment building and he's holding a football. Like everybody always is holding a football. That sort of stuff I find interesting. So
because he's all about America.
I can see, you know, how it is interesting because he purposely thinks that he's doing it good. Mm-hmm. I can see how there would be a little bit of a difference with that.
And did you?
But I would still find it torturous to watch the whole show.
But you know, like I can understand. You know, if you're sitting down by yourself, you know, it would be difficult. I get that. But see, it's like the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
You cannot compare the two things together.
I'm not comparing the movies, but I'm comparing the experience. Like, you know, the people doing the things. Like, there's sort of rituals or things that people do whenever.
You're not explaining it very good. Like,
okay.
When you go see The Room, it's put on the similar to how Rocky Horror Picture Show is put on.
Like
so people throw spoons at the screen at certain times. They're throwing around footballs. So that's.
It's like the audience interaction.
Yeah, okay.
There's audience interaction, which makes it really... Yeah,
but if you're watching it just at home, it's torture. It really is torture. And I just don't understand. You know, you like watching a lot of these bad, good movies. Mm-hmm. And I personally, like if a movie is that awful, no thanks. I will like exit the room and go do something useful with my time. Like...
Well, let's shift gears a little bit. Let's talk because we've talked a bit about movies. Let's talk about art now.
Because the whole reason why we got this topic idea is because I was listening to the radio, and these people were talking about this art gallery in
Seattle.
I can't remember what it was called, but basically they were like, yeah, there's this show, and they were doing that vocal fry thing that.
Is super annoying.
You know,
where they just talk like this.
It's very monotone and they don't show any excitement in anything. Everything is boring.
Yeah.
But sounds like it's boring, but they're actually saying positive words in a boring.
Like, I saw this thing and it's super awesome.
Kind of like making the way that they're talking like ironic as to what they're saying.
Yeah. That's a whole. Other discussion, but
I'm so excited about this show. I think that you guys are so totally awesome, and I just really love you guys. You're the best.
I was watching the latest Keeping Up with the Kardashians, and it was so good.
Eric, you emphasize so too much. Too much enthusiasm.
Okay,
less enthusiasm.
Okay, vocal coach.
Even less.
It was so good. I almost shit my pants.
You still do it.
Monotone. I'm not Johnny Impression over here. I do what I can. And
so then I went and I won the Nobel Peace Prize, and it was pretty awesome.
Cool.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Do you want to go get a Slurpee?
Yeah, that's the best. Slurpees are the best.
Anyway, so the people were talking like that, and then they were talking about this art and how it was so bad, so good, because it's like a Blue Panther drawing that's just wicked.
Yeah, and
like that, and that's what I'm talking about, like art that's like.
And that's a whole.
I think that's been going on for a while because I remember when I was going to ACAD and this one girl was doing taking these old velvet paintings and like painting on the velvet paintings, which I mean the velvet paintings are awful.
Yeah,
I'm not sure. I don't think that anyone has ever genuinely thought that those were good. Do you think, like in the 70s when they, or 60s or whatever, when they came out?
Well, people bought them. Like they thought they were cool because, oh, it's a painting on velvet. That'll look good. You know, I think the people who bought them in the 70s genuinely liked them. Yeah.
See, and that's, so this
because irony only goes so far.
I know. But this is what I find really frustrating about this trend in, it is like, do you actually really like anything?
Yeah.
You know, like how can you like something just because it's bad and you actually don't like it, but you like it because it's bad? Like, I can't wrap my head around it.
This is why
especially when it comes to art, it's like, so an artist is going to purposely go out of their way to draw like really bad stuff.
Well, the thing is, like in the clip I'm going to be showing you in a bit, all the bad art that they do show, it's all people who thought they were doing good stuff. But so in some sense, they're laughing at people's failures.
Yeah. See, and that's not very positive at all. Like, I know. That's actually really awful.
All right. Let's watch this clip. This is not about that museum. It's another bad art museum, because I wasn't actually able to find a clip about that one in Seattle. But it's the same idea. You'll get it. So let's have a look. Listen.
Why fly to Paris to see the Mona Lisa when there's a perfectly fine copy right here at the Museum of Bad Art? It's in the basement, fittingly, of the Somerville, Massachusetts Movie Theater.
We are the world's leading authority on bad art. We are the only museum that collects, exhibits, celebrates bad art.
Louise Sacco is...
Well, not anymore. There's that one in Seattle, so...
Yeah.
Permanent acting interim director.
Oh, boy. This one's something else.
This is the other room. Sister is banished to the corner and is still teasing Kitty. This is man in a puffy disco hat.
Is he crying or did somebody spill coffee?
Well, this needs a little bit of work. There were neon lights in it. We think of it as a tribute to the We Are the World. The child there is not as attractive as you might hope.
See, I should point out one thing on here is in this particular video clip, they are pixelating out any nipples that are occurring in any of the artworks.
Oh, really? I didn't notice
that. No, I'll go back a second. You'll
see. No, it's okay. I trust you. Oh, yeah, behind, yeah.
As attractive as you might hope. Instead of in a bathtub, as in the original, they've put him in a coconut and made a miniature with a lime and knife on the table. And instead
of... miniature man in a coconut shell.
I've seen worse at contemporary art museums.
We call this Lady with Big Pants. And she also has big feet.
The feet
are talk about amazing. A problem.
Since there are no bad art institutes, how did Louise, a former radio host, learn bad art appreciation?
It's like pornography. It's hard to define, but I know it when I see it. It's one of those things that you just look at it and go, wait, what? Bad art is, first of all, art. And that's really important, that it's sincere and original. And something went wrong in a way that's interesting.
So what is your take on this so far, Rochelle? Like, you know, like I'm just...
I don't know, as an artist, if I had my stuff hung up in a gallery called the Bad Art Gallery, I don't think I would tell anybody.
Yeah, well, first of all...
It's really embarrassing.
One thing that needs to be pointed out in this particular gallery of bad art, the way they're even presenting the art... It's in a basement with
pipes. There's pipes going across the walls.
Yeah, so it's... They're not really doing any favors to the art, which I guess, why would
because
you?
Because it doesn't deserve it.
Yeah.
That's basically what they're saying.
Yeah.
Is like, that you know, this art doesn't even deserve a proper...
Frame
or a proper hanging on a blank white wall. Like, I mean, the one art piece she was, it was hung on a door.
Yeah, and some are just leaning up against the floor.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
But I don't think I like it. I don't like it. I can see how, like, you know, like, I remember watching this movie where this folk artist was discovered. And I think folk art is kind of like, you know, like there's a lot of like lenience with folk art with it. And there's like bad folk art that's good because it's silly or it's witty or something.
Yeah.
But it's not calling it bad though.
No, it's for lack of a better word, a genre of art. Right?
Yeah.
And if we're looking at this, it's...
I'm Like, where is she finding this stuff
from? I'm sure she's finding it at garage sales, flea markets, wherever. Let's have a listen.
So what is not bad art?
We're not about kitsch. That's not sincere. No black velvet. No dogs playing poker. We're also not interested in anything that's just boring.
Where does it all come from?
We rescue them from the public waste system. Yard sales, flea markets. They're donated by people all over the world.
What do we have here?
Curator Michael Frank talked to donor Adam Lawson.
Well, it's certainly vexing enough.
I am really excited that you liked it. My wife was just telling me I had to finally get rid of this thing.
Well, that's pretty cool. I mean, the fact that it's a faux collage.
Faux collage, right.
Few works meet the museum's low standards.
People sometimes send us pieces that were deliberately made to be bad, and you can usually see right through that.
That's fake bad art.
It's fake bad art. And
exactly. Kind of what I was referring to when I was talking about the Sharknado. It's fake bad.
Yeah, I get what you're saying with it. I get it. Okay. I just, it's not genuine and it's not sincere.
Yeah.
But I almost feel like when they're taking art that is genuine and sincere, like these people actually thought it was good. It's almost kind of like mean. It's mean to the artist. And even like,
you know, cause like, say for instance, you were the painter of this one piece that was just unwrapped.
Yeah.
And you had, you know, it was just something you had forgotten about. You had done 10, 20 years ago. And then you had, for whatever reason, you happened to stumble into this gallery for whatever reason. And then you see your artwork sort of, I wouldn't say necessarily hung, but displayed there. You know, part of you would just be like, oh, you know, but, you know, at the same time, part of you might laugh and go, okay, yeah, I guess it is kind of bad too. But, you know, like there's.
But if these people are genuinely trying and they actually are putting all of their energy into making this painting so amazing and so awesome. Like, and then this lady looks at it and says, yeah, that's great in a bad way.
Like, say,
right? Like, it's kind of like, oh, really?
Like, how would you feel as an artist if like one of your drawings ended up in, say, this place?
I wouldn't let it go there. This place is awful. It's might as well just be a garage sale. It's
Well, like they said, that's where they got a lot of these things, like from garage sales. From but it's just
it's not.
At one point does it stop being a genuine interest and cross the line to be actual mocking from like a kind of a mean spirited.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to. Yeah,
like, you know,
exactly.
It seems here that they're stepping up to the line of being mean spirited. I'm not sure if they're necessarily stepping over, but they are getting up pretty close because
people are going in there to look at bad art and to laugh at bad art.
Yeah,
and it's like if you had this situation in your high school art class where people would laugh at your bad art piece, that kid would be crying, right?
I actually have something like that.
Okay, well, anyway, let's finish. I want to hear what this lady has to say.
Okay.
Shows.
It's scandalous.
Yes.
The museum has 3 exhibits in the Boston area, including an all-animal display at the New England Wildlife Center. Bruno is popular. And here's one you may even recognize. Ferret in a brothel. No?
We just finished an exhibit in Taipei, Taiwan, and
they're
going to send it to another city in Taiwan in the summer.
It's a lot of bad art in this world.
There is.
An art warehouse? They have enough bad art to mount dozens of exhibits.
Oh, that's pretty.
Yeah, this is very nice. This is Mr. Moneybags.
That's stunning.
He's compelling.
This is lovely.
Anyways, we get the idea here. I don't know.
Like, it's kind of like, it's like a one-line joke to me. It's like, okay, I get it. Like, all of this stuff is so bad. Mm-hmm. And I have no interest in looking at more.
Yeah.
It's like why do I want to look at bad stuff when I'd rather look at good stuff?
Exactly. Like, the
It's a one-liner to me. It's definitely like a one-line joke.
So I guess
it is just it's a popular trend right now. So these people are getting shows because of the popular trend of looking at bad stuff.
Do you think? Yeah, but do you think that people now are deliberately creating stuff which isn't necessarily good traditionally?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. Of course they are. Especially I think, you know, young, I think this is like a big trend with young people is this bad, good thing. You know, you can see it in sometimes in the way that some young people are dressing too, you know, like these mustaches that are like waxed out and these people are growing them like super, super long and twirling them up. Like that's bad, good in appearance.
That's well,
it is. And like these guys who are having beards,
it's a trend. Like,
it's no, but I think it's kind of like this whole bad, good thing. Like, you know, like, oh, hairy faces are so bad. They're good.
You know, but you know, like any sort of trend, you know, maybe 2016.
Yeah, but that's the thought. I think that is the thought behind the trend.
But you know, the 70s mustaches were a thing. So do you
I know, but in the 70s, like it was genuinely good.
Burt Reynolds.
Like it was good.
Let's talk about.
Listen to me. In the 70s, people actually wanted to look like that because it was handsome and good. And I don't think people have that thought right now.
I'm not sure if I agree with you 100%. Like I think the people who take it really seriously. Yeah. Like the guys who go out and they get like their beard lotions, their.
Okay, I know, but I'm talking about the people who are doing it because of the trend, not because of that they really like beards and mustaches. Well, the trend followers.
Well, it's like any trend, like you know, next year. Yeah, like I said, next year it might be something else. Could be.
Yeah, I know. I don't care if
next year. I know.
That's you're agreeing with what I'm saying in such a weird way.
The year of the Hitler mustache.
What?
That's right. You can. That's
because it's so bad. It's good.
Oh yeah. We're gonna go right. We're gonna go super extreme.
I can
extreme.
See them pushing that for sure.
Exactly.
Ugh.
Everybody's gonna be supporting
disgusting.
That.
Disgusting.
Just
nobody will do that.
Not even in an ironic sense.
Oh, of course. You can do everything in an ironic sense.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I hate that so much.
Okay.
And I wish you could have like opened this show with Alanis Morissette. Isn't that ironic?
It would have been too easy.
I know it is, but it's a song that keeps popping in my head from the 90s.
Yeah. So just to kind of cap up our discussion of art. This is about a 2-minute clip. A young woman critiquing art school. This is Rochelle and I will really have a feel for this because we've gone through this quite a bit when we were in art school, you know, presenting her painting that she worked hard on. The kids are asking difficult questions, and then she deals with it in I'm just going to skip about halfway through because it is a 2-minute clip. So,
okay.
It should be more, I don't know, like a solid color because I think it should like make a high contrast between the figure and the line, because I feel like it's like, because it's mixed with like different colors, it feels like it's like one, like I don't know, yeah, like there's no.
You go much harder, like you do a lot more.
Yeah, I think it looks like underworked outsider art. Like it looks like outsider art in a way. It's like, and you kind of in a.
Okay.
What is outsider art?
Well, it's like folk art, basically. That's what they're saying. It looks like outsider art. So people who aren't artists who create art. Outsiders.
Oh, that's, I don't like that
expression. You never heard that term in the art school? Okay.
No.
So, anyways, this poor lady holding this painting up.
Yeah. Sounds like they're tearing her apart.
And, see how it ends up.
Successful like that because you're trying to like pretend you didn't learn how to paint. So
is that what outsider art means?
Yeah, it's like people are untrained and haven't had, and often it's like inmates and people that are crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I like that you went like a different direction than what you normally do, but I think that the face looks like you, and I think that you do a lot of art that's like focused on yourself because you are a fashion designer.
So you kind of like work from your own body, and I don't know if you meant to do that.
Okay, well this is, I'm sorry, but like I spent so much time on these projects.
And there goes the painting. You know what? You know, some people may see this clip or hear this clip and go, okay, well, that's a bit of an extreme way to take criticism. But, you know, some of the questions that were being presented to her.
And oh, it's just awful. Like, I feel like, you know, you weren't really trying very hard with the.
And you hear the voices, way, right?
Yeah. And. It's awful.
It's like, yeah, it looks like outsider art.
These people, obviously, it's like, what's it called? Like, they're trying to be all like highbrow. Like,
exactly.
We know so much more than you know, and you don't know enough, and your face looks like yourself. Why do you make it look like yourself? Like, as if that matters. It doesn't matter. It's so awful. Oh, it looks like outsider art. It's like you have no training. Blah, blah. Ugh. Like that's not even a comment. That's just like oh well, I'm better than you kind of sort of statement.
In art school critiques, ugh, especially ones which you're being critiqued by your peers, are the worst. Because it's just like either goes one of two ways. Either nobody has anything to say. They're just like it's quiet, or else it goes the way that this particular critique went, where people were just going, well, I'm not sure you got through what you wanted to get through, and it looks like you weren't trying. I'm not sure if that's a genuine thing that you were doing, or, you know, you get what I'm saying.
Oh, I know. Trust me. I've sat through many days, like full days of critiques all day long, and you're just like, And some pieces you're like, why are we still talking about this?
I know.
And then there was this one situation in my art class where you know, this one guy made all these block paintings and all of these artists were like, I just feel like you're not thinking about anything. Like you're just painting blocks.
And he's probably like, saying like, I'm just painting blocks.
I'm painting blocks. That's what I'm doing. Like, but then it's like, well, don't you have a brain inside your head? Don't you want to show your thoughts and it was just like, no, he doesn't. He's working with color. Well, why did you place the yellow block by the green block?
Because I thought it looked good. But that's never.
I know. It was torturous. And then it got, these conversations would get vicious. Vicious.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I remember. There's one critique.
And it's like, it's basically if there's one person in the class that doesn't like it. And they're kind of like really, really well-read people. You know, they read a lot of art books, so they know all the terms and everything. They'll just kibosh, like your whole critique will just go to shit.
I remember there was one situation where it completely turned the tables around. Because I think it was in a...
You turned it around?
I totally turned it around. Let me explain. It was in... I think it was like in a fabric elective. And I... Or maybe it was, I can't remember what it was, but I brought in this piece of which I was not particularly proud of. I was, you know, I genuinely was. I'm like, okay, well, it was an assignment and I did the assignment and I did not like the way that turned out. And like this situation, which we just watched, you know, is the critique. So rather than trying to defend the artwork, what I did is immediately when I was doing my presentation, it's just very detailed way outlined every different aspect that this particular piece failed from an artistic point of view. And I did it in a very deadpan point of view where it was actually people were laughing. Because I think at one point I took it and I said, even as a doorstop, this piece fails. And it's one of those spring doors, which, you know, you have to put like a really, a nice wedge in it. So I painted this painting up against the door, and I let the door go, and then it slammed the painting into like the door. So even and the funny thing is, like, after the class, the instructor, her name totally escapes me. She's like, that was one of the, she thought it was like one of the funniest things that she had seen in like a long time, because it's like, because no one had ever basically
like
tore art their own piece. Because, you know, once you do that, and if you do it enough in detail, what can they say?
Yeah, I know.
Exactly.
It's, like, yeah.
Like, you know, you've already basically said everything that they can say. And they're like, so it's just, I don't think there was really any remarks after that. People were just like, okay.
Yeah, I don't think, I never really had any really awful, awful critiques, except for at the end of my third year in school, where they just tore me apart. And it was this one instructor who absolutely, absolutely hated me because I never showed up on time for his class. Mm-hmm. And so he just decided, like, yeah, you're not going anywhere, because you were never on time.
Yeah.
Like, I missed the morning lectures and his little morning. And you know what? I didn't like him. He didn't like me. That's the way it happened. Right.
And it's like that, you know, there's just some instructors where you just don't meet.
No. Like, he was showing and sharing all this stuff that I was just like, I'm sorry, but I'm not into this. Like,
yeah.
I just can't get into this. Anyway, so the critique was just, oh my goodness, it was just awful. Like, he called me a schizophrenic artist. He's like, oh, here you got ceramics over here. You have paintings over here that have letters in them. And here you have other paintings that are all colorful, figurative paintings. What are you doing? And you know, I'm like,
I'm trying to figure out what I'm doing. I'm in second year art school.
Like, I know.
You know, I'm trying to figure out my voice, you know. That's what people
I know. And I tried to explain that to him, but he just, and then finally, like, I mean, there's five instructors who are critiquing you. And finally this other instructor who, you know, he was just kind of like, yeah, like
lay off.
Yeah. Like, it was so bad that it was just like I think he was purposely trying to make me cry, because he hated me so much because I never ever showed up on time for his class. I would walk in late and he'd be like, oh, thanks for gracing us with your presence. Like, that kind of dick kind of stuff. Right. Okay, like, right.
You're welcome, dad.
Yeah, it's like, I'm actually paying for this class. Yeah. So
whether I show up on time or not, your paycheck still is the same.
I know. And it's like, I don't need your story time of you telling me about Japanese paper art, mm-hmm. because I'm not doing Japanese paper art.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I can go to the library and look at my own books. Thank you.
Anyways, speaking of books.
Now people are going to know who I'm talking about.
Whatever. I know who you're talking about, but I'm not going to say the name.
Yeah.
Anyway, speaking of books, it actually goes back to a movie. Well, you watched the movie version of 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah, but this I think would fall under the category of, like, this person knew that it was bad. I think it falls under that category.
I'm not.
It's kind of like Harlequin Romance. But
okay. Yeah.
You know, and Harlequin Romance is. They're Harlequin Romance. Yeah, that's like a whole genre of, like, we know this is crappy, but it's sensual and romantic, and like Danielle Steele, you're like, she knows her stuff is bad.
Have you ever read any Danielle Steele?
I tried to one time, but she just kept using the same adjectives that I got so bored.
Oh, okay.
And it was just so boring. I'm like, this story is not even a story. There's nothing happening. It was just, I couldn't do it. And I tried reading a Harlequin Romance too, and it was the same way. Remember that one you got as a joke present from your work?
Yeah, yeah. So you actually tried to read. Oh, yeah, you did try and read that.
But yeah, it's just, and like, I'm like, this is so, like, when stuff is written so badly, it's really hard to read it.
See, I've never had the pleasure or displeasure of reading an extremely badly written novel. You know, usually they're okay or whatever, but, you know, where it's like a Harlequin Romance, where it's just that difficult to get through.
Well, those are not written for men.
No, I know. I've never written, but of that level, I don't think there is an equivalent for men. And maybe there is, but I haven't read them. But anyways, 50 Shades of Grey was a big thing a couple of years ago. One, because big, sexy book.
Probably about, like a year ago.
A while ago, let's just say that. People can look it up on Wikipedia and go, dear tip, tap, tip, actually, 50 Shades of Grey.
Well, doesn't it say the date right on the video for Ellen? Isn't that 2013? Or is that the page number?
I don't know what that is. But actually, tip, tap, tip, it came out in 2012. So it was actually more than 2 years ago. So
okay, now you're just being ridiculous. Eric, you're so bad, you're good.
Or am I being awesome? Somebody's going to clip that and I'm going to be famous for things.
Yeah.
Just like unicorns and beards. Let's listen to Ellen.
Do people like unicorns because they're so bad, they're awesome?
Yeah, that's another thing.
You know? Anyway, okay, go.
All right. So here's Ellen reading passages from 50 Shades of Grey, illustrating how well it's written.
50 Shades of Grey by E.L. James, read by Ellen DeGeneres. He grabs me suddenly and yanks me up against him, one hand at my back holding me to him and the other hand... Oh, my God. I'm not going to say that. You know, is it kind of... Is it okay if I paraphrase so that I don't say the exact words, but it's just more like I'm going to put it in my own words? Paraphrase. I mean, it's going to, you'll get the same, but I'm just not going to say the words that... He guides his hands across my secret garden. I'm just going to add some sound effects if that's okay, because I think... Apologize. It's a free haircut. Oh, I like it. Suddenly, he took out his ball peen hammer.
It is hardcore romance for adults.
Yeah, but she's not really reading it.
No,
she's not reading enough of it to get the gist of it. But it is, I tried reading 50 Shades of Grey because I actually found it in one of the free book bins for the very reason because it is boring and really hard to read because it is so badly written. Like it's like written at grade 3 reading level. It's awful.
But it was really, really popular. And
I don't understand why it is so popular because... you know, they must have just done really good marketing for it or something because... Well,
no, I think it's just one of those things where somebody had discovered it because it originally had come out as a Kindle book, right?
Yeah.
And somebody downloaded it and read it and go, wow, this is ridiculously bad. And like...
Yeah, because even...
In like The Room, you know, word of mouth and it kind of builds up from there and next thing you know...
Yeah, because, you know, I watched the movie... Because I was like, okay, well, I'm not able to read the book and I want to know what people are talking about. So I think that might have been it. Like, what are people talking about? And then it just goes on from there. So lots of people want to watch it and read it because they want to know what people are talking about. Like, it must be so dirty and so crazy. But it really is not.
Well, the movie?
No, well, yeah, like, it's not. And it's awful. It is really awful. Like...
well, that's one of the criticisms that I heard about the movie is that it was, boring.
The worst acting ever.
It's boring.
Like, this girl has no personality. The main girl, Dakota...
She's the daughter of Dakota Johnson. She's Melanie Griffiths and Don Johnson's daughter.
Yeah, and she's not a good actress at all. Sure, she's super cute. She's super sexy. No problem there. But or maybe it's probably a combination of her really bad acting skills and the really bad novel that she.
But
like it's almost torturous to watch her because she has no personality in the movie. Like as a woman, like you, she doesn't even say anything.
But like you know,
she
like,
barely says anything. She's like, oh, you're just here because you think that because you have lots of money that you could win me over. And then he's like, come on. And then she goes with him and you're like, what?
But do you think she's necessarily a bad actress or she's an okay actress that was given a really bad script? Because, you know, there's
who knows, great, right?
Because like, there's great actors who've just been in crap movies.
Well, this is the first movie I've seen her in, so I have no idea.
Okay.
So I'm going to say that so she's a bad actress because...
So Dakota Johnson, you have two more chances to redeem yourself, and those are the two, you know, if you, two more books.
But I don't think she's going to get another chance, though, because she's basically... You know, this is like softcore porn, right? Like she's basically her first big role has been really bad acting, really bad script, lots and lots of nudity. Mm-hmm. Do you think and it's really popular. So I don't think people are going to cast her in any other role because she's now the 50 Shades of Grey's lady, right? She's like
tainted.
She's tainted, yeah. Majorly tainted with this.
Speaking of, 50 Shades of Grey. This is something I read last week. The author of the three books, E.L. James, is now writing, I guess, maybe rewriting the books, but she's doing three more novels of the 50 Shades of Grey story, but they're the same story, but written from the perspective of the guy. And I guess the books are written from the perspective of the woman in the book.
Really? Because it doesn't show, like, this woman must have a blank brain.
I don't know.
it's definitely not.
So if you want to read 50 Shades of Grey from the perspective of the guy.
Okay, I'll tell you right now. I'll be the guy. So I saw this really hot girl, and she's poor, and she works in a hardware store, and I see her standing by the chains, and I just want to chain her up and spank that pretty little bottom.
Does she
of
actually
hers.
Work in a hardware store?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know.
You're that pretty and you're working in a hardware store? Probably not.
I don't know.
She'd be working at the Gap or something like that. Okay. No pretty girls work in hardware stores.
Okay. We're going to get some emails from very pretty girls who do work at hardware stores.
I'm sorry. I'm saying this because the movie is so poorly thought out. There is no thought put into this movie whatsoever.
Yeah.
Or to this book.
Yeah.
It's like I've read, there's a similar kind of book that is written by, she goes by a pseudonym.
What's the book?
Who's the lady who writes like the vampire series?
Oh, Anne Rice.
Anne Rice. Yeah. So she wrote a series called Sleeping Beauty and a very popular S&M type book. And, but she wrote it under a pseudonym. I don't know why.
People do
because that. Because it is like it is crazy. Mm-hmm. Like this book is crazy.
You read those books, all three of them?
Well, you can't really like they're so dirty. You can't really read throughout the whole book. There's very little story.
Okay,
it's just like. But if you want, like, if you want to read something that's like crazy, crazy, that is the book. Not 50 Shades of Grey.
This is
50 Shades of Grey is like
lightweight
a
stuff.
Softcore version of
this
the Sleeping Beauty.
Wow,
Sleeping Beauty is like I learned stuff from.
Wow.
Yeah. You're like, oh, what?
That's a thing?
Crazy. I didn't know that was a thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll file that away in my brain.
It's on our bookshelf.
I know. We need to move it up to a higher shelf.
So. Yeah, because our son keeps pulling them off the shelf. But,
I know. Like,
those ones are crazy. And then so you see something like 50 Shades of Grey and you're like, what the hell? Like, this is like amateur. This is not good.
Well, you know how you know where that book came from, right?
What?
Originally, the original 50 Shades of Grey, at least, was developed as a... earlier version, it was developed as fan fiction, like somebody of Twilight. So this author, E.L. James, wrote her own Twilight series, but then she, I guess, in further down the line in the development, she reworked the characters so they weren't Twilight characters. Because originally it was about Edward and
Bella. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so originally started out as like a Twilight book.
Oh, see, I can see that because the character Bella in Twilight is similar to this female character where they don't really say very much and they don't have very much of an opinion. They want to be dominated.
But then,
you know, and honestly, like if you really know anything about being dominated, usually the person that wants to be dominated is the person who has a dominant personality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the whole stereotype of like, oh, lawyers like to get spanked, right? Yeah. You know, and then they take this Anyway, I didn't like it. It's so dumb. It makes me mad.
Makes you mad?
Yeah. See, and that's why I don't like stuff that's bad that's supposed to be good, because it's just, to me, it's just bad and it makes me mad.
So final opinion.
It's bad and it makes me mad.
Final opinion. If we're going to wrap this up in a nice little bow.
I just said that. That's my opinion, my final opinion in a bow.
And you're sticking to it.
Yeah. What's your final opinion?
Well, my final opinion is that I can still seek enjoyment out of bad things which are executed poorly, because even they may, the original intention might not be what I get out of it.
You need to make it smaller and smaller, like into one sentence.
I can laugh at bad things. Okay. I have no problems with that.
Oh, there you go.
Okay. but I don't like laughing at bad things that are made bad on purpose.
Oh, okay. So you have the same opinion of that art lady.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Well, I suppose, yeah. But I wouldn't, but at the same time, I wouldn't necessarily do what that lady is doing and create a gallery just for bad art. Because, you know, the part of me is thinking that it is a bit dickish.
Yeah, and, you know, there's a lot of artists who are making good art, and they're trying really hard to make good art, like me. And to show people's work that is actually bad is just an insult to the art industry in general, for those people who are actually really trying to do good art.
So.
And making good art, and not getting shows.
So my final statement is, like what you like. There shouldn't be any guilty pleasures. There should just be regular pleasures.
Be genuine about it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's what we got to say about that.
Let's turn this music up. I like it.
All right. Thanks for listening to Tip Tap Tip. My name is Eric.
My name is Rochelle.
We'll talk to you guys later. Bye.
Bye.